Brought to you in association with AboveTopSecret.com and NetTalkRadio.co.uk. It's weirder than a bush kangaroo. It's the Conspiracy Hour. And here's your host, Nerky.
G'day, this is Nerky, the token crazy Australian, from AboveTopSecret.com with his radio show at NetTalkRadio.co.uk titled The Conspiracy Hour, 8 to 9pm, Saturdays GMT, with this week's show for April the 1st, 2006, April Fool's Day, which is the day where we annoy the living hell out of the people that we love. Well, I'm not going to be doing that today because I don't like annoying people on the radio, but I'm going to be trying to spread the truth. Well, for those of you that missed the show last week, I apologise because I had a bout of gastro from having eaten some bad sushi that I got in the city, and there wasn't really much that I could do about it except for send myself and my laptop to the toilet every 5 minutes. So I could have sat on the toilet and done the show, but you might have heard some strange extra sounds and you don't really want to hear of that. Well, for those of you that are first-time listeners to the show, I am Nerky, the token crazy Australian. I have come from AboveTopSecret.com's Podspace, which is where we do podcasts, and people can download the podcast in an MP3 format and listen to them later on their iPod, or in their MP3 player on their computer, or any MP3 player for that matter that's portable, and can download MP3s. This is my fifth show for nettalkradio.co.uk with The Conspiracy Hour, and I've been podcasting for about 6 months now from AboveTopSecret.com, and I've been doing this show for a little over a month now, and hopefully I seem to know what I'm doing, but I'm always learning, so any constructive criticisms are appreciated. My blog can be found at myspace.com/nerky, or the blog itself, not just the profile, can be found at blog.myspace.com/nerky. And my name is spelt N-R-K-Y, which is an abbreviation of the word nerky, and I've just personalised it to make it my own personal anarchy. Well, last week, when I had my bout of gastro from having eaten bad sushi, instead of doing the radio show, I just spoke for a couple of minutes and then played about 3/4 of an hour worth of my survivalism podcasts that I've been working on for the past 4 or 5 months. And you can download those podcasts from AboveTopSecret.com in the podcast section forum. Just look for the pod threads and go to Survivalism 101. Or click on the link titled Podcasters and do a search for Nerky, N-R-K-Y, and then download the individual Survivalism 101 podcasts. It's something that I try to update every few weeks, and I took a couple of months break from that, but I'll be doing that as well as the radio show because I like studying up on survivalism and learning how to survive possible future holocausts and other situations which I would need to make sure that I can go into a new situation other than living in the suburbs and living under the same pretenses as everybody else in the area. I'd like to learn how to be able to live out in the wilderness and to live out in the bush and survive on something other than what I'm used to. So I make the Survivalism podcasts to help other people do that too. So you can download those from AboveTopSecret.com. And now I'm going to move on to what I like to call the totalitarian tiptoe segment of the show, which is where I talk about events that may lead to the inevitable encroachment on civil liberties, freedoms and rights of the people of the world by the few that want to control it. Is it the Illuminati? Is it the Freemasons? Is it the international bankers? Who knows, but I'd like to find out, and hopefully so will you, so keep listening.
Because people have got to know whether or not their presidents are crooks.
Good question. I appreciate you asking that question.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
That Iraq no longer had weapons of mass destruction to pose a threat to the United States of America.
From my close-up inspection, there's no evidence of a plane having crashed anywhere near the Pentagon.
The top portion of the building has collapsed down to the streets below.
The events of our times are indeed confusing and often shrouded in the mystery of deception. Over the past 3 years, AboveTopSecret.com has grown to be the Internet's most popular and reliable source of answers on conspiracy theories, political scandals, secret government projects, and other alternative topics. With over 43,000 members and more than 1.6 million posts, those answers are just a click away. And now a new addition to the many features of our community, member podcasts. These are so easy to create, even George Bush can do it. And that's without the help of Dick Cheney. Any member can simply upload an MP3 file and have it immediately appear in our feed. A quick look at the feed finds members like Agent Smith and his rather interesting introduction.
I'll start telling you a few things about myself. We'll start with my bad points. I'm pretty arrogant. Most of you have probably noticed this. I can get quite excitable, and I believe most of that probably stems from the fact that I tend to drink too much.
And there's Magic with his theories on information warfare.
Information warfare uses information as a weapon of war. A modern derivative of classic psychological warfare, it has evolved into a distinct discipline which focuses on the flow of information, communication, and the systems used to facilitate them.
And also the interview with someone who claims he can call UFOs at will.
What does that mean? I said, no, I didn't say that, man. I said that UFOs were going to start appearing, and at one point in this thing, a spaceship is going to descend up over Las Vegas for everybody to see, you know, I mean...
And certainly not to be missed, one member has actually taught his PlayStation 2 to talk.
I am saying that there is a conspiracy to divide your thoughts into at least two groups which are polarized against each other.
The motto of AboveTopSecret.com is Deny Ignorance, and it signifies our aspiration to embrace all topics in the spirit of collaborative discussion and learning. To find our podcast, just search Above Top Secret on iTunes or visit podcast.abovetopsecret.com.
Problem. A small global elite wish to control the world. Reaction. Horror. Outrage. Disgust and anger. Solution. You get informed. You get ready for the totalitarian tiptoe with Nerky.
G'day, you're listening to The Conspiracy Hour at nettalkradio.co.uk, and I am your host, Nerky, the token crazy Australian, and this is the segment of the show I like to call The Totalitarian Tiptoe. Well, last week I didn't have a Totalitarian Tiptoe segment of the show, so this week's Totalitarian Tiptoe is going to get a lot of airtime. First article that I managed to find from davidicke.com's website is in relation to the 9/11 facade. This article can be found at prisonplanet.com, and as a side note, all the articles that I refer to in this segment of the show, as well as the list of everything that I do for this week's show, will be posted at my blog at blog.myspace.com/nerky, that's N-R-K-Y. So if you want to find the direct links yourselves, then just go to my blog at MySpace and have a look at the different links that I'll be putting up in relation to this week's show. Well, the first article for Totalitarian Tiptoe segment of the show comes courtesy of PrisonPlanet.com and is titled, Actor and Director Ed Asner Shares 9/11 Concerns, Highlights Story of Hijackers Still Alive and Well. And the opening paragraphs state that award-winning director, producer and actor Ed Asner is the latest high-profile public figure to voice his support for Charlie Sheen's stance on 9/11 and share his own concerns about 9/11, the war in Iraq, and the neocons. Speaking to the Alex Jones Show, Asner, best known for his Emmy-winning role as Lou Grant on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, echoed Charlie Sheen's sentiments in stating, I became suspicious of 9/11 on the day it happened. I will always be that suspect of it and challenge it and challenge various points of it, said Asner in relation to 9/11. Well, a little bit of backstory in relation to Charlie Sheen. A couple of weeks ago, Charlie Sheen made some rather controversial statements about his opinion on the 9/11 tragedies and how he thinks that it may have been a facade and that the precursor for a war in Iraq in relation to 9/11 may have been a waste of time and that the rest of the war on terror may have been a waste of time and that it somehow relates to what we aren't being told about 9/11. What confuses me is that we're seeing popular actors supporting the other side of the argument about 9/11 that the media is showing. And the media is actually showing what these people are saying against the popular idea of 9/11 as just having been done by a group of terrorists that want to destroy freedom. It's rather weird to see popular actors speaking out in public and actually having their voices propagated by the news networks when they are talking about conspiracy theories that might relate to the government. Media and government being very right-wing, it's rather sad and strange to see them actually show the other side of the argument. However, if we think about it in relation to the totalitarian tiptoe and the problem-reaction-solution formula of dividing and conquering the people so that they can more easily control us and bring about a world bank, world government, and world army, it's rather easy to see why the media would be showing the other side of the story. They are doing it so that the people can choose which side of the argument they want to support. Like, for example, with the right wing and the left wing of politics in America actually being the same thing, two sides of the same coin, or as David Icke calls them, opposames, we are being shown the two different sides of 9/11 and the war on terror. Now, the people in the world, or people in American media world, are showing us both sides of the story so that we can choose which side we want to be on and who we support. Now, if we depose George Bush and put in a different regime, which is reactionary to his war on terror stance, how do we know that the people that would be coming into place in replace of George Bush, or replacing George Bush, would not actually be controlled by the same people that control George Bush? This is the totalitarian tiptoe at work. Problem, reaction, solution formula. Put in a fake terror alert, put in a fake president who stole the seat in the first place, and then offer the solution to America going downhill and being destroyed by design, which is a regime that would be friendly to introduction of more stronger United Nations powers and a World Bank, also being known as a liberal who wants to keep the world free. Well, liberals, Democrats, Republicans, they're all the same thing. They're all the same sides, well, different sides of the same coin. And now for the next article in this week's segment of the Totalitarian Tiptoe for April the 1st, 2006, comes courtesy of bbc.co.uk and is titled Iran Given Stark Nuclear Choice, and serves to prove my point in saying that the West is trying to install a totalitarian global regime which will stop Middle Eastern and poorer nations from doing as they please. The opening paragraphs in this article state that Iran has 30 days to return to the negotiating table or face isolation. Foreign ministers from the US and five other major powers have warned. The comments at talks in Berlin reinforced a deadline in a statement by the UN Security Council, which urged Iran to halt uranium enrichment. However, the United Nations watchdog chief said Iran was not an imminent threat and sanctions would be a bad idea. Iran says its activities are peaceful and has rejected the Council's calls. Well, personally, I think that the Iranian regime is being controlled by the same people that control the West, Germany, France, America, UK, Australia, Canada, the Commonwealth, etc. They're all being controlled by the same people. Yes, the Iranian people may want to pursue uranium enrichment for non-weapons-grade uranium. However, the people that are in power are going to do an extremely poor job and make it seem that Iran is being non-compliant and is becoming a rebel state, which is definitely not the case. It would be the poor controlling of the Illuminati stooges who would be running Iran on behalf of the bankers, the Illuminati, and the oil cartels that want oil from the Middle East and control of the surrounding nations so that they control the oil more easily. What shits me the most is that the fact that it is absolutely pathetic for the nations with the most amount of nuclear capacity to tell smaller Middle Eastern nations whether or not they can pursue uranium enrichment. America and Israel have some of the biggest nuclear caches in the world, next to what would have happened if the Soviets had have stayed around. And they're not selling their uranium to the Middle East. Not at all. It's like a bully walking around in the school ground with a baseball bat, telling kids that they can't hold wooden sticks because they think that they're going to be a threat to him. Well, he's the one with the baseball bat, so why would he be threatened by people with little wooden sticks? What are they going to do, poke him in the bum and he's going to go, "Oh, that hurt"? America's hypocrisy never ceases to amaze me. Now, the next article for April the 1st, 2006, totalitarian tiptoe segment of the show The Conspiracy Hour with your host Nurki at nettalkradio.co.uk comes courtesy of theregister.co.uk and is titled ID Cards Are Compulsory. And this is in relation to the attempts by British Home Secretary Charles Clarke over the past couple of years in getting compulsory identification cards into the mainstream in England. The opening paragraphs of this website state that, no they're not, yes they are, no they're not, yes they are, after MPs last night voted for ID cards to be introduced with creeping compulsion. That means that anyone who wants a new passport will have to get an identification card as well. If you are the government, that means the cards are voluntary. You can always choose not to have a passport. You don't have a choice whether or not you actually want to get the card, but you can choose not to have a passport. Well, back to the article. MPs laughed at Home Secretary Charles Clarke last night when he insisted yet again that passports were voluntary documents. He won the day anyway. MPs were voting whether to keep amendments made by the Identity Cards Bill by the House of Lords, which would have made it a voluntary scheme in the strictest sense of the word. Those same amendments had already been rejected by the House of Commons once. The Lords stuck them back in last week. Last night they were struck out again in a vote of 310 to 277. This effectively closes most windows through which the civil libertarians could conduct their opposition to ID cards. Well, it doesn't matter anyway, because Charles Clarke is not going to stop at trying to get identification cards into the United Kingdom. Identification cards, why are they a problem, you might ask? Well, people would want to use identification cards for gaining access to secure locations. Unfortunately, government and some private entities may be wanting you to use those cards and will have access to all the other information on the card in case they need to scan or give you access to some of those secure locations. For example, if the police want to come in and do a search of the area in a protest, they'll scan everyone's identification cards. They will also have access to everything else that is put onto that card, or everything else that is in the database that has absolutely nothing to do with you being at the protest in the middle of London. Also, if you want to order a pizza, they can check up your medical records and put extra surcharges on the pizza in case you have heart conditions. It's not entirely unlikely that that scenario could happen, and if you think that I'm a nutter for stating that, well, let's see who's right in 5 years' time, eh? Well, in relation to Charles Clarke and his statements on identification cards, I found a statement of his taken from an old archived article at bbc.co.uk titled ID Cards Wouldn't Stop Attacks, with the opening paragraph stating that identity cards would not have stopped the London bombings, which killed more than 50 people and injured many more, Charles Clarke has said. But the Home Secretary said, on balance, he believed ID cards would help rather than hinder the ability to deal with particular terrorist threats. How would they help dealing with terrorist threats? If a terrorist was intent on bombing a bus, do you think having an identification card would actually stop that? What exactly do they determine as being actions that might lead them to believe that you are a terrorist? For example, if you're interested in flying planes and you want to buy a lot of fertilizer and an old Volkswagen Ute, does that mean you're a terrorist? If after having done all that you want to go into the city of London and go stare at some of the buildings with a camera and carrying your luggage in huge bags next to you and put them down on the ground next to you, step forward a couple of metres, does that mean that the security cameras are going to be activated and police will be sent to the scene because your identification is being seen as a possible terrorist and leaving those bags behind might be seen as a suicide bombing attack? Well, so much for privacy and being able to be a good little citizen and do whatever the hell you want. Right, now we finally get to the most recent of the three articles in relation to the identity cards and Charles Clarke in the United Kingdom. Another one courtesy of bbc.co.uk, titled, Deal Paves the Way for Identification Cards. And the opening paragraphs stating, the way has been cleared for the introduction of identity cards after weeks of parliamentary wrangling. MPs have approved a compromise drawn up by the government after the Lords repeatedly blocked the scheme. Anyone who renews a passport will be put on a national ID database, but will not now be forced to have an ID card until 2010 instead of 2008. The deal delays ID cards until after an election, making it just acceptable to the Tories who would scrap them. And the article states that Home Secretary Charles Clarke hailed the deal as a sensible and acceptable compromise. Well, mate, as a civil libertarian, I would like to tell you that it is not a compromise. No ID cards and having a proper passport system in the United Kingdom is a compromise. If I was a British citizen, I would be opposing the RFID tags and the ID cards because they are definitely going to have RFID smart cards into them and eventually will have very cheap RFID microchips in them that will allow them to be scanned via a proximity device, meaning that you won't need to put them into the machine to scan them, because that is the inevitable next step from a generic identification card with a smart card. It's only technologically advancing, and it's not unexpected from the neocons and the Illuminati that want to control the world. Rightio, enough of that article. Time to move on to one titled, US Firm Offers Private Armies for Low-Intensity Conflicts, courtesy of worldtribune.com, with the opening paragraphs stating that a leading US security firm has offered to provide forces for any counterinsurgency mission around the world. J. Kofa Black, vice chairman of Blackwater USA, told the Special Operations Forces exhibition, SOFEX 2006, that his company could supply private soldiers to any country. Black, a former US State Department counterterrorism coordinator, said Blackwater has been marketing the concept of private armies for low-intensity conflicts. About a year ago, we realized we could do it, Black said. Well, legal militias in America being sold to foreign nations as a private corporation. Hello, does anyone else see what's going to happen after this? If we see a lot of private corporations bringing out their own militia forces, how is it not going to be any different if we see a world army coming in and replacing these temporary corporate militias? If America's army isn't up to the job, we will need a world army to do the job properly and make sure that those evil terrorist rogue Islamic states are conforming to the desires of the Illuminati. And what better way to do that than with competition and liberalizing and privatizing the army? Well, they can shove it up their ass, because I'm definitely not going to be signing up for any corporate firms that want me to go out and do some assassination jobs. Well, they can kiss my ass. Now, the next thing that I'd like to bring up in the Totalitarian Tiptoe segment of this show, The Conspiracy Hour, 8 to 9pm Saturdays, GMT at nettalkradio.co.uk, also podcasted at abovetopsecret.com, with your host, Nurki, well, that was a long thing to say, is that there's a lot of protests going on, or there were a lot of protests going on in Los Angeles in America, in reaction to America's attempt to shut out the illegal immigrants. Unfortunately, I don't think the American government realizes that illegal immigrants are doing the jobs that middle-class Yankees couldn't be bothered doing because they see them as shitty jobs. And corporations are actually benefiting from having low-wage workers? And do you think America's actually going to bring out what they should be doing, which is a minimum wage? Hell no. Hey, here's an idea. Americans are unemployed. Let's solve the problem by throwing out all the immigrants that came here because their countries aren't as good as ours, and they were falling victim to the propaganda of, let's go to the lucky country. This is such a good country. America's such a great country. Anyone can do whatever they want. Oh, but it doesn't matter. You can't do whatever you want. You have to be a good little citizen and conform to everything in their social policy. Oh, yeah, and if you came from Mexico, then you have to go back to Mexico to get a job. You can't stay here in America and work as hard as you damn well want. You have to go back to Mexico because the Yankees don't want you. Well, I'm glad that Australia doesn't have such a strict immigration policy. Unfortunately, we just send our people to fucking detention camps. And Australia has a lot of the similar problems that America does, except because we have our borders surrounded by water, we don't have any neighbouring nations, residents leaving and walking into Australia. Instead, they come over here in boats that probably sink half the time, and they're actually lucky to get over here. Unfortunately, in Australia, we put them in detainment camps as well. Well, in America, the ones that actually do manage to get through the border stay there, get jobs, join the communities and contribute to the country and keep the country's economy strong by working for very low rates, meaning that the good old people that want to control the corporations are making extra profit because they're not paying their workers as much as they normally should be if they were hiring a nationalized American worker. Well, what's so bad about having illegal immigrants in America, they might say? Well, it's probably because they think that the illegal immigrants are going to be terrorists, and that if they have illegal immigrants in America without identification cards, they can't track their every move. Well, why not just give them identification cards in the first place, even without worrying about their visas? As long as you've got them tracked, why does it matter whether or not they've got a full visa application? God, America makes no sense. However, I believe that they might be trying to stop the immigrants from coming into America and kicking out the ones that are already there, because they want to divide and conquer the people of America so that they can more easily control them through shitty politics. If you make the migrant workers think that they're not welcome, they're going to vote against you. If you make the corporations think that they're doing a good job in supporting you, and that they're going to be having more security in their workforce because you don't have those damn terrorists in their workforce. Oh my God, those migrants are so scary. Whoa. Then they're going to vote for you. So they're going to increase the divide between the poor and the rich in America. Exactly what the Illuminati love doing around the Western world, and increasingly in some other nations like China and the Middle East as well. Now, the next article for the Totalitarian Tiptoe segment of this show for April the 1st, 2006, comes courtesy of ZNews.com, ZEENews.com, and is titled, US Indo-Nuke Deal Will Strengthen International Peace, Kissinger. Before I start reading this article, I'm a little bit confused as to why Henry Kissinger was given the Nobel Peace Prize those years ago. He's a mass murderer and a child molester and one of the reptiles in the Illuminati, and he does not deserve to have his name put in the same sentence as peace. He is a piece of shit scumbag, and he does not deserve a peace prize, nor does he deserve the word peace in the same sentence as his name. Now, for the article. The opening paragraphs state that on Washington, March 21st, the civilian nuclear agreement reached by the United States and India promises to make a seminal contribution to international peace and prosperity, according to former U.S. Secretary of State Henry Kissinger. He has welcomed the agreement as an unprecedented level of cooperation and interdependence between the two powers, in a period preoccupied with concerns over terrorism and the potential clash of civilizations. The emerging cooperation between the two great democracies, India and the U.S., introduces a positive and hopeful perspective, said Kissinger, who served as Secretary of State to then President Richard Nixon, between 73 and 77. I just can't read this shit without laughing. Henry Kissinger proclaiming that two great democracies are working against terrorism and to avoid clashes of the civilizations. He of all people should know that both civilizations, India and America, are being controlled by the same people, as he's one of the people working for their ideals and their agenda. He's just trying to make it seem that he's trying to create peace between two possible superpowers that could clash and cause economic problems and military conflicts. Well, there's no way in hell India would be crazy enough to attack America, and America wouldn't try and do anything against India except for profit from it. Rightio, next article for the totalitarian tiptoe segment of this show for the week comes courtesy of politics.guardian.co.uk and is titled MI6 Pays Out Over Secret LSD Mind Control Tests. Yep, so it wasn't just America doing it then, eh? So it was the Brits giving LSD to their soldiers without telling them. Where have I heard something like this said before? Oh, maybe it was when I said that they're controlled by the same people. Are you getting the hint yet? They're controlled by the same people. Oh, well, back to the article. The opening paragraphs state that the Secret Intelligence Service, MI6, has paid thousands of pounds in compensation to servicemen who were fed LSD without their consent in clandestine mind control experiments in the 50s. MI6 has agreed to an out-of-court settlement with the men, who said that they were duped into taking part in the experiments and had waited years to learn the truth. The men experienced vivid hallucinogenic trips when given the drugs. One recalled seeing distorted Salvador Dali-style faces and cracks in people's faces. MI6 is also paying the cost of the men's lawsuit. And the article also states that MI6 was attempting to find what they call a truth drug to compel prisoners to confess. Well, you can thank Abby Hoffman for this one. He's fucked up yet again. Abby Hoffman being the Illuminati stooge that started the spread of LSD in America, and which led to the spread of LSD in the rest of the world, and a massive test of the drug on the general populace of America during the hippie era. These LSD experiments on the soldiers happened before the hippie era and the reaction and the bringing about of the hippie era in reaction to the atrocities in Vietnam. These were done in the 50s as opposed to the late 60s. They hadn't gotten the public to generally accept usage of LSD yet, so they had to use soldiers to test it before they knew whether or not it would actually be of any use. And looks like these tests weren't entirely conclusive, so they had to go on into the 60s and test hundreds of thousands of hippies that wanted to use LSD to expand their mind. Unfortunately, the rebellion was started by Abby Hoffman, who, without a doubt, is an Illuminati stooge, or was. He wasn't a rebel trying to start a new peace and love movement. He was a stooge controlled by the CIA to mind control people in America into complacency and compliancy with their regime, and to bring about the New World Order. Well, enough on LSD and Abby Hoffman. If you're still interested in that topic, just do a search on the internet for LSD and Abby Hoffman, and you'll find a hell of a lot of conspiracies relating to him being a stooge of the CIA. Next article for totalitarian tiptoe segment of this show this week is courtesy of guardian.co.uk and is titled Soldiers Flee to Canada to Avoid Iraq Duty. Well, this doesn't surprise me, but it still amuses me nonetheless. The opening paragraphs state that hundreds of deserters from the US Armed Forces have crossed into Canada and are now seeking political refugee status there, arguing that violations of the rules of war in Iraq by the US entitle them to asylum. A decision on a test case involving two US servicemen is due shortly, and is being watched with interest by fellow servicemen on both sides of the border. At least 20 others have already applied for asylum, and there are an estimated 400 in Canada out of more than 9,000 who have deserted since the conflict started in 2003. Well, the war in Iraq by America is illegal, as is its occupation of pretty much every other country it's tried to do something in. I don't blame these soldiers for doing what they did. I applaud them and support them, and believe that their fellow servicemen should be paying attention if they want to defend freedom and liberty. The only freedom and liberty that we see here are the ones that they're giving up and that they're helping their so-called leaders destroy that belong to other people. They're not actually defending freedom and liberty, they're destroying other people's freedom and liberty. But, ugh, politics and war, ugh. Next article. Gah! Next article's on politics and war as well. This article is titled, We're on the Eve of World War III, and comes courtesy of worldnetdaily.com. And the subtitle is, Ex-Mossad Chief Urges West to Unite, Warns of Muslims in Imposing Ideology. The opening paragraphs state that, Jerusalem, global civilization is on the verge of World War III, a massive conflict in which the Islamic world will attempt to oppose its ideology on Western nations, according to Mir Amit, a former director of Israel's Mossad intelligence agency. What do you fucking expect? The Zionists that control Israel and help control America are trying to make Islam and the Muslim world seem as though it's militant and trying to destroy the freedoms and liberties that Americans take for granted. Well, that is a load of shit, and Israel can bugger off because the Islamic world is not after Americans' freedoms and liberties. They want it for themselves. They are sick of being oppressed by the Americas and the West in not being allowed to pursue their own laws and their own Sharia conditions of government. They are sick of having oppressive regimes such as the Saudis control them through oil and economic oppression, and having powerful allies such as Israel and America. They just want their freedoms, and they want to be left the hell alone by the Americans, the Saudis, Israel, and the British Commonwealth. The article also continues on to say that Amit, one of the most esteemed figures in the international defense establishment, warned Islamic nations and global Islamist groups will continue launching all kinds of attacks against Western states. Bullshit. And on a side note, he knows they're going to launch attacks because he's working with the people doing the attacks. He urged the international community to immediately unite and coordinate a strategy to fight against the, quote, Islamic war, unquote. There is no Islamic war. You are being deceived. Do not be a sheep. Do not believe the propaganda. There is no war of Islam on the Western world. There is only reactionary and alarmist media trying to make it seem that there is. There is only a small few people being controlled by the Illuminati that are doing these bombings. How do we even know that they're independent people that actually care for the Islamic world? Well, they're not. They're there to support the agenda of the Illuminati and destroying the freedoms that the rest of us have, and that includes the people that run America, George Bush, Nixon, Reagan, and all his other Illuminati buddies. It's not the Islamic world doing it, it's the Illuminati. I'm just going to read another paragraph from this article. It sounds like something out of a shitty science fiction or a shitty pro-America, you know, one of those crappy movies where they see, like that one with Harrison Ford, Air Force One or something. You know, just the really shitty movies. Well, it actually is part of a script of a really shitty movie, and the rest of us are just paying to watch it because we're sheep. But nonetheless, here's that part of the article. Amit says that, We are on the eve of war with the Islamic world, which will wage a war and all kinds of actions and attacks against the Western world. We already noticed the terrorists in the world hit Spain, England, France. I call it World War III. You must look at it from this angle and treat it wider, not as a problem of terrorism here and there, said Amit, speaking during an exclusive interview with WND's Aaron Klein and ABC Radio's John Batchelor broadcast on Batchelor's national program, for which Klein serves as co-host. I'm awake. What? Well, the script of that movie was starting to bore me, so let's move on to the next article, because we all know that the Illuminati is trying to make the West seem that there is a war against them on behalf of the Islamic world, which there isn't, and we all know that's a load of crap, so let's move on. Another article that I found from davidicke.com, which is hosted at virginianewssource.com, with the opening paragraphs, a state training manual on terrorism has apparently been written by a bunch of undereducated bureaucratic goons or thugs while wearing Nazi hobnail boots as they stomped into the Constitution, or blah blah blah, whatever that website says. Nonetheless, there is a state manual that was written for, which state was it? Virginia Beach, just the state of Virginia, titled Terrorism and Security Awareness Orientation for State Employees. And in the website, it claims that even the Tidewater Libertarian Party and the Virginia Beach Taxpayer Alliance can be classified as terrorists. Well, there's a couple of strange things that you'll notice inside the article, or inside the documentation that comes with the article in relation to the new training manual. An excerpt from page 4. The definition of a domestic terrorist: anti-government and militia movements, racist, separatist and hate groups, environmental and animal rights extremists. The funny one here is property rights activists. You mean people that oppose the pathetic practice of eminent domain? Next one on the list is religious extremists. You mean like George Bush, the fucking nutter who's going around the rest of the world proclaiming that he's a good Christian under God? Yeah, he's a religious extremist. Let's lock him up because he's a domestic terrorist, according to this. Street gangs. You mean, what, like the CIA? The documentation goes on to say, what are terrorists after now? Terrorists have the following goals in mind when committing their acts. Oh my God, this is crap. Create an atmosphere of anxiety amongst the public. You mean like what the media does? Undermine confidence in the government. You mean like the left-wing academics do? Influence government or social policy. Isn't that what progress is supposed to be? The influencing of government and social policies? Isn't the whole point of having a democratic nation supposed to be that you can influence the government and that you can change social policy? If we still lived in the same kind of social policies that we had back in the Dark Ages, most of us wouldn't be alive. And as for influencing the government, what about lobbyist groups and corporate groups like Halliburton and Bechtel and the major pharmaceutical corporations? Are they domestic terrorists? Well, in my opinion, yes. But according to this, they won't be arrested because they're corporations and they can do whatever they want. If it was an individual person trying to change the government, or a group of people, not a corporation, with a political agenda that was publicly advertised, unlike the political agenda of the corporations which like to be hidden, they would be seen as domestic terrorists. Well, do you still like America's social policy? It needs to be changed. But if you live in the state of Vermont, the state of Virginia, and you want to change the social policy of the government, watch out, you might be considered a domestic terrorist. There was a soundbite that I heard a couple of months ago, after the Patriot Act and that had come out. It was titled something along the lines of, "Are you a domestic terrorist? Steps to make sure that you can avoid being seen as a domestic terrorist." I wish I knew what the URL for that link was, because I'll be playing it now. It was pretty sweet. But a nice quote that I found from the Virginia News Source article is a Benjamin Franklin quote, which I also saw in the game Civilization 4 the other day. "He who sacrifices freedom for security deserves neither." Whoa, I'm at 45 minutes. Well, this is the last article for the Totalitarian Tiptoe segment of this show, which comes courtesy of SaveTheMails.ca, which is kind of a joke website as well. However, the article itself is titled, "Rights Museum is a Monument to Hypocrisy," with the opening statements being that little yellow stars reminiscent of those Nazis made Jews wear will be given to school children visiting Holocaust exhibits at the $300 million Museum of Human Rights planned for Winnipeg. The stars will not read Jude, but they could. They symbolize the brainwashing most Jewish children receive and ensure that Gentiles embrace the culture-killing policies of the NWO, the New World Order. The so-called Stars of Hope are appropriate because these children are marked for cultural and spiritual extinction. The Museum of Genocide is the brainchild of the late media mogul Israel Asper and is being carried forward by his family, which owns Canwest Global, the largest newspaper chain in Canada, as well as TV networks in Canada and abroad. Basically, there's a new museum of human rights, a new museum titled Museum of Human Rights, being planned for Winnipeg, and they're going to have a Holocaust exhibit. The Rights Museum. Does anybody here that's listening to this show know what the ADL is? I've done a podcast on the ADL and their pathetic attempts at destroying First Amendment rights. The Anti-Defamation League is a pro-Israel, anti-freedom of speech organization that wishes to paint a brush over everybody that would criticize Israel and the Holocaust as being anti-Semitic. Apparently, if you question the origin and the reason behind Holocaust awareness spreading in schools, you can be branded as racist and being seen as an anti-Semite. Well, considering that a Semite isn't just a Jewish person, if you are an Israeli, you are an anti-Semite. But that's for another radio show. Nonetheless, the ADL does not believe in rights, nor do the people that propagate this obsession with having the Jewish Holocaust of World War II as being seen as the most important event in modern history. I am not an anti-Semite, nor do I hate Jewish people. I don't like the Nazi state of Israel and their cohorts in the ADL and the neocons making it seem that the rest of the world actually cares about what happened in the Holocaust and World War II, even though it was disastrous. We should move on and learn from the experience, not sit here obsessing about the past and giving support to Israel because a very small, minute, actually the poorest majority of Israel, the poorest minority of Israel, which would have been left over from what didn't get killed in the Holocaust, we're supposed to support their leaders who actually gave those Jewish people to the Nazis so that they could be taken. I'll let that settle in for a minute. The people that control Israel are the same people that were giving the Jews to the Nazis so that they could survive. Let that sink in a little bit further. Should we support them in their Holocaust awareness? No. However, we should bow our heads in grace when we state that the Nazis killed a lot of people, which they did. However, the people that control Israel were working with the Nazis in order to enact the Jewish Holocaust. Therefore, I believe that the people that run Israel should not be spreading the truth of the Holocaust awareness. It should be word of mouth, and that the general people would be doing it on their own behalf instead of the Anti-Defamation League doing it, and the cohorts in Israel. Well, Thus ends this week's segment, titled The Totalitarian Tiptoe, for the Conspiracy Hour, April the 1st, 2006. And I am sorry if I offended anyone with those comments in relation to Israel and the ADL. I'm not an anti-Semite, but I do believe the Holocaust happened. I just don't think that it is a significant event that needs to continually be propagated by people that don't actually care about the Jewish people. They just care about gaining support for Israel, which is anything but Jewish.
The world is in the grip of a psychotic mass murderer. He is responsible for the deaths of untold millions of men, women, and children. His power is exercised through a network of secret societies, and it reaches into the very highest levels of governments all over the world. Examine the evidence. Draw your own conclusions. Peer into darkness with Derek Gilbert and Sharon Gilbert on PID Radio. www.pidradio.com
今日は最高だよ。
おはよう、イギリス。
Natsuko and Peter here from JapanesePod101.com, a Japanese language podcast that brings you
Japan on Demand.
Learn Japanese about Japan
and about Japanese culture
with free daily 10 to 15 minute lessons direct from
Tokyo,
also known as Tokyo. Get your daily dose of Japanese and Japan at JapanesePod101.com.
よろしくお願いします。
Dude, let's make a promo.
About what? That we're a talk show for geeks?
We talk about anime, too.
Well, that's true. We do news and reviews.
And gadgets and toys, too.
And guests! We have kick-ass guests!
We're not geek radio. We're a talk radio for geeks! Yeah!
OtakuGeneration.net. Catch us every Wednesday for news, reviews, and so much more for the otaku inside you.
Wait, did you say Greek radio? Oh, geeks. That makes more sense.
I talk about the world being controlled by a few people, a few interbreeding families going back to the ancient world that are behind all this vast change in the Orwellian society that's...
turned into this. Are you saying the president would have been hit by three bullets instead of two if Connolly had not have turned into that shot? And Hoover, J. Edgar Hoover, says that's exactly correct, Mr. President.
This path of looking down it and finding, hey, there's a little bit more here than just accepting whatever the spin is on the news station you're watching.
And I guess I should just focus more on the whole political correctness and what's behind it issue.
I freaked out because I thought it was,
Atticus on the board. Okay. Have we, in effect, created our own worst enemy? That is... a troll that thinks.
Only one website delivers more than 1,000 podcasts from dozens of conspiracy theorists. AboveTopSecret.com.
Your iPod will need a tinfoil case.
Relentless, I just listened to your podcast. And just a couple things I want to share as I was listening to you. These thoughts came into my head.
It gets better.
Do tell. Do tell.
I can't hear
every day in a bulk of the background. We have people come on and they make preposterous things sometimes.
Listeners are respectfully reminded to leave their misconceptions, beliefs, and brainwashing at the door. It's the Conspiracy Hour with Master Nerky.
G'day, I'm Nerky, the token crazy Australian from AboveTopSecret.com's Podspace with the radio show The Conspiracy Hour for nettalkradio.co.uk. Well, this week I actually managed to fill the show with 50 minutes worth of the totalitarian tiptoe, so unfortunately I'm not going to be able to show any AboveTopSecret.com's podcasts. However, there are 3 hours worth of airtime at nettalkradio.co.uk with AboveTopSecret.com's Podspace. Podcasts. So I'll give Ross Hemsworth, the owner of this radio station, the chance to play this week's podcast in that part of the airtime. And unfortunately, I won't be able to play any of them this week, so I'll play some of them next week. Now, I'm going to be leaving you for this week's show for April the 1st, April Fool's Day 2006, with a song by an artist titled Kyle Jester, who is a friend of mine on MySpace and is a very talented artist along the lines of Michael Bublé, I think his name is. I'm not very good at categorizing music, So I'll just play the song and let you form your own opinions of the song. It's titled Straighten Up Baby. His website can be found at www.myspace.com/KyleJester. KyleJester. Well, here's the song and good night.
Straighten up, baby. Won't you please fly right sometime? Straighten up, baby. Please fly right sometime. That will ease my temperature, mama. Cool my worried mind. Well, I once was a gambler from a town to town. And my baby done left me. She have put me down. Straighten up, baby. Please fly right sometime. That will ease my temperature, mama. Cool my worried mind. You better come here, doc. You better come here quick. Tell my baby to let me know she made me so sick. Straighten up, baby. Please fly right sometime. That will ease my temperature, mama. Cool my worried mind. Straighten up, baby. Please fly right sometime.